All right. Gonna read a little bit in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 7. I was reminded of this last Sunday. I think Brother Atlee read something that made me think about this. And I think either he read it or I happened to see it while we were in Judges. I'm not entirely sure. But in verse 7, this is about Paul's... Did I do something? No, it's still on. Oh. Paul's thorn in the flesh. And I have thought about a lot, like, what was this thorn in the flesh? What kind of thing was it? Never met anybody that has been very certain about what it was or what kind of thing it was. And it's not my intention to try to tell you what it was, but I saw something that I felt like shed some new light about what kind of thing it was for me. What I think. So I'm just going to read here, starting in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The thought occurred to me, like, why did Paul use that term? Why did he call it a thorn in the flesh? And why didn't he just say what it was? He just say, there's this thing, and name it, that that has been bugging me or bothering me, hindering me in some way. He recognized it as a messenger of Satan to antagonize, I would almost say, like him, buffet him. And Paul was very, very familiar with the scriptures. And I'm sure if there's a reference to a thorn in the flesh in the Old Testament, he would have been aware of it. And if there's a reference to that, like, perhaps that would shed some light on the kind of thing that he was talking about. So I'm going to read in Numbers 33. Verse 50. I'm going to start in verse 50 and read probably to the end. Now the Lord spoke to Moses into the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, When you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, and demolish all their high places. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess. And you shall divide the land by lot as an inheritance among your families. To the larger you shall give a larger inheritance, and to the smaller you shall give a smaller inheritance. There everyone's inheritance shall be whatever falls to him by lot. You shall inherit according to the tribes of your fathers. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants to your in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them." So for the Israelites, the Canaanites were a thorn in their side. They had, and this was as a result of their disobedience earlier and not driving them out when the Lord had commanded them to. And so they were there, and they troubled them. They had to maybe not constantly, but time and again they had to fight these Canaanites because they were still there. I'm going to read in Judges. Chapter 2, start in verse 1. "Then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, 'I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be thorns in your sides, and your gods, and their gods shall be a snare to you.'" Maybe I'll just stop there. For some reason I had thought to read a little further, but so are there any Canaanites in your life? Any relics that you have to do battle with? I think there are. I think most of us would have these things. Why they're there, maybe we don't know for sure. They could be because of something we did or encountered, something that happened to us when we were young. Might have been our fault, it might not have been, but there's something that is in our life, I think, these Canaanites, that we have to battle with. And we battle with them, we do battle with them, and we'll have to do battle with them as long as we live. But the important thing, if there are these Canaanites in our life, is that we do battle with them, and we don't make peace with them, and we don't start intermarrying with their daughters and just give up the fight. So I just want to encourage everybody to do battle with the Canaanites that are in their life.
Very thought-provoking. I'd just like to point out that the work of that thing in Paul's life was to keep him humble. And it appears it did a very effective job of that. As I know the Lord, he wasn't out to make Paul miserable or anything like that. It was in his humility that he was useful. And it appears that's what it took.
Yeah, I just wanted to share a couple of things. You know me, I gotta go run to the Greek and see what the Greek says there in 2 Corinthians 12 in this passage. So yeah, I guess first thing is when it says the metaphor of a thorn, right? And then immediately it says a messenger of Satan, some translations. Translators sometimes will translate the word angelos as a messenger, sometimes just transliterate it as an angel. And so angel of Satan, messenger of Satan. And then it uses a word they translate to me as a little confusing, little convoluted buffet. So I peeled back the layers on that. Okay, let me look some different you know, words. I use this word cognate, but it's basically family words, brothers, sister words that share the same root, and try to understand better what does Buffett mean. And so some words that share that root would mean like chisel. Some of it is one I saw where it was like birds pecking at somebody. So that would be more like, you know, a verb. And then another one would be where somebody is slapping somebody. It's used in Matthew 26 about what they did to Jesus when they beat and slapped him. That's the word they're translating as, well, it's the root that they're translating as Buffett. So I agree with Brother Will here. Yeah, it seems pretty clear that this angel of Satan or this messenger of Satan that was sent to, you know, to keep Paul humble. That's what it seems like to me. So, some thoughts.
The first thing I thought of, Norman, I guess hadn't thought about it before, but one thing that I think about often, the Proverbs 25:19 says, "Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint." And he chose those two injuries as like, I think those are just like disabling injuries. I think of David's Mighty Men, like that part where it tells the stories, like they took one guy, beat a giant, one guy got somebody in the killed, it was like in a pit in the snow. They're like all these difficulties, and they still prevailed. Like I think to myself, like even David's Mighty Men couldn't have gone to battle with a foot out of joint, like. Or and then one I'm not very familiar with, but I think I get it, is like a broken tooth. I've seen, is Teo here? Teo's not here. I've seen Teo just be useless to the world with a broken tooth, like just in utter misery, incapable of anything, getting out of bed, like just like in such desperate pain. I'm thinking, oh, like, somebody might have won the Mighty Man contest if it said this guy beat a lion with a broken, you know, in the middle of a terrible abscess, tooth abscess or something. Anyway, I just thought of the contrast between like something that takes you out, and then a thorn, or something along those lines. Different times that I've had like these annoyances. They're not too minor, they're not too major, but they're just always there. They just tempt you to getting impatient, to getting angry. I think like especially like losing the fruits of the Spirit, just constant grating on you. I thought about the rain in Oregon made me think of that. Like that's how the devil works. Like either he doesn't, or God doesn't let him just take you out completely. Like he just drizzles day after day after day, and you're like, okay, it's not too bad, I can be patient. And then you're just like, everything is wet, there's mud everywhere, like it's just like I cannot get it, like eventually, like that's how, just slowly. Anyway, I just think of I can't think of examples of what those things could be, but I'm just thinking like in general, this is something that doesn't take you out, but just this constant, it's a special kind of test. A thorn.
Yeah, one thought that I've had about that passage is that I feel like the apostles would have really had to battle with a lot of things, because like they had authority that, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but like they had authority that normal Christians didn't have, you know, like through Peter a damsel was risen from the dead, the blind were healed through them. And I've just thought how Paul, like, he got caught up to the third heaven. Like, surely he was battling with, like, trying to stay humble, you know, like, oh, me, Lord? Like, you chose me to, like, experience this.